Hello, this is Pastor Andy Roberts from Lake Highlands United Methodist Church, and we are so glad that you are listening to our sermon podcast today. You can find out more about Lake Highlands United Methodist Church by visiting our website, lhumc.com. If the message today blesses you, we ask you to consider supporting our church through a financial gift. We hope that today's message will help you become a more devoted follower of Jesus Christ, who loves God and loves people. So it's good to be together this morning. We are talking about we're in a sermon series during Advent. Listen to me, already getting ready for Christmas. We're in the season of Lent, where we are talking about loving God with our hearts, our minds. I'm still talking to the kids here. With our hearts, with our minds, with our strength, and with our souls. So today we're going to be talking about what does it mean to love God with our souls. So if you brought a Bible with you, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 12 through 18. I will give you permission to pull out your phones. If you look at the Bible on your phone, I'll give you permission to pull them out and look at them while we're reading this together. But hear this word from the Apostle Paul. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the old covenant, the same veil is still there, since only in Christ it is set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds, but when one turns to the Lord, a veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Let's pray together. So Jesus, we ask that your Holy Spirit would guide and lead our conversation this morning, our thoughts, that we would hear what it is that your Spirit has to tell us. So God, open our minds and hearts to be able to hear everything that you have for us on this day, and help us to not just hear these words, but to put these words into action. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, we've been talking about what does it mean to love God with your heart, with your mind, with your strength. And today we're talking about what does it mean to love God with your soul. Now, a soul, as I was just attempting to explain to the children, is kind of a hard thing to explain. It's not an easy thing to pin down because we can't see our souls. It's easy to nurture, well, I can't say it's easy to nurture a plant, but you can at least see the plant, and you know what it needs. How do we nurture our souls, and what is a soul anyway? So let me give you a definition. This is from a sociologist named Dallas Willard, a Christian sociologist, and this is what he said a soul is. He says, the soul is that aspect of your whole being that correlates, integrates, and enlivens everything going on in the various dimensions of the self. Clear, crystal clear, right? That's what a soul is. Now, let me help a little bit. Let me just show you kind of who we are. Hopefully you can see that, but you'll notice right in the center of who we are is our heart. That's what we've talked about in week one, that we're to love God with our heart. Another way of describing a heart is your will, or the choices that you make. In the center of who we are, we make choices about who we are. And then right outside of that is our mind. This is our thoughts and the way that we think, and what are our minds dwelling on? What are our thoughts? What is occupying our thoughts and our minds? And then outside of that would be our strength or our bodies. It's where we put our lives into action. And then outside of that, you'll see the very outer layer of that is what we defined. I could have made that font a little bit bigger. But outside of that, on that very outside line, is a line soul. Soul. And a soul is what integrates your whole life together. It's what keeps, in other words, imagine if that outer circle were not there, your life would disintegrate. or it would not be whole. If you have an unhealthy soul, you're going to have an unhealthy life. In fact, everything is going to be out of whack. And we know this to be true because sometimes in our lives when, let's say with our heart, we're trying to make a choice, we're trying to make a decision, but our thoughts don't seem to be lining up with what our hearts want to do. And then in our bodies, we have these reactions. We have this tendency to do the wrong thing all the time. And so there's a lack of integration in our lives. There's a disunity in our lives. If our souls are not healthy, our whole lives will not be healthy. And so to say that we want to love God with our souls means that we want to tend to our souls. And conversely, I gave you kind of the negative, but when we tend to our souls, there is integrity. And integrity, and you guys know this, right, from taking math, that integer, the word integer means whole. And so when someone is full of integrity, it means that everything that is within you is all working together the way that God intended it to work. So you've got a heart that's doing what it's supposed to do, your choices that you're making. You've got a mind that's in line with the choices that you're making. You've got your strength is carrying out those actions because your soul is healthy. And your soul is holding all of those things together. So there's consistency. Or another way that Paul puts it is there's fruitfulness. When there's integrity in your life, or when your soul is healthy, then we love God with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and with our strength. There's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. All of these things line up. And so soul work, here's maybe to bring this down to earth a little bit here. Soul work is about doing the work of making sure we have integrity. Soul work is about making sure that we have character, that we tend to our character in our lives, and so that our lives will yield fruit. So I want to maybe hopefully bring this together a little bit by reading actually a story by a man named John Ortberg, who is a pastor who lives in California. And the title of this story is called Keeper of the Stream. So we're going to have story time with Andy for just a second, okay? I'm going to read you this story. Here he goes. So there once was a town high in the Alps that straddled the banks of a beautiful stream. The stream was fed by springs that were as old as the earth and deep as the sea. The water was clear, like crystal. Children laughed and played beside the water. Swans and geese swam on it. You could see the rocks and the sand and the rainbow trout that swarmed at the bottom of the stream. And high up in the hills, far beyond anyone's sight, lived an old man who served as the keeper of the springs. He had been hired so long ago that now no one could remember a time when he wasn't there. He would travel from one spring to another in the hills, removing branches or fallen leaves or debris that might pollute the water. But his work was unseen. And so one year, the town council decided they had better things to do with their money. No one supervised the old man anyway. They had roads to repair and taxes to collect and services to offer. And giving money to an unseen stream cleaner had become a luxury they could no longer afford. And so the old man left his post. And high in the mountains, the springs went untended. Twigs and branches and worse, muddied the liquid flow. And mud and silt compacted the creek bed, and farm waste turned into parts of the stream into stagnant bogs. For a time, no one in the village noticed. But after a while, the water was not the same. It began to turn brackish. The swans flew away to live elsewhere. The water no longer had a crisp scent that drew children to play by it. Some people in town began to grow ill. All noticed the loss of the sparkling beauty that used to flow between the banks of the streams that fed the town. The life of the village depended on the stream. And the life of the stream depended on the keeper. The city council reconvened, the money was found, and the old man was rehired. And yet after time, after yet another time, the springs were cleaned, the stream was pure, children played again on its banks, illness was replaced by health, the swans came home, and the village came back to life. The life of the village depended on the health of the stream. The stream is your soul, and you are its keeper. The stream is your soul, and you are its keeper. And so the question is how do we love God with all of our heart? It's by tending to our soul, because if we don't tend to our souls, our whole lives will become disinfected, disintegrated, divided, going in 100 different directions. And so if you don't tend to your soul, your life will feel the effects of it. So how do we do that? Well, the passage of scripture we read earlier, let me read that verse to you again. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree to another, one glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. In other words, what Paul is saying there is that we're transformed, or we care for our souls, because the veil that once separated between us and God has now been removed. It's been taken away. There's nothing that stands between us and God. Jesus has handled that on his cross. And so there's no more separation between us and God. And now we stand directly before God. And as we gaze upon Christ, as we see the face of Christ, we're transformed, we're changed. And not drastically, not in an instant, but over time, as we look into the face of Jesus, his face will transform us, and our faces will look like his face. We become more like Jesus the more that we look at him. So we care for our souls by staying connected to Christ. So in Psalm 16, verse 8, it says, I will keep the Lord always before me. When he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And so the goal is to do everything in our power to always try to keep Christ right in front of us. Now, that's hard to do, right? Because you think about your day and you think about all the stuff you have to do, and you think about, you know, you got to go to work, you got to care for the kids, you got to change diapers, you got to, you know, do yard work, you have to fix things, you're running kids to dance and to baseball practice and soccer practice and all of these things that you're trying to do. And in the midst of the busyness of your life, how can we be expected to always keep God in front of us, right? Y'all feel the challenge? It's a hard thing because we have all these things we have to do in life. So how do I keep the presence of God before me in the midst of the pressures of life? Well, there's a book that was written back in the 6th century by a man named Brother Lawrence. And he was a monk. And you say, well, that's easy. If you're a monk, you can always keep the Lord before you. But he actually was a working monastery. And so they had dishes to do. They had gardening they had to do. And so he made it his goal. He says, in everything that I'm doing in life, I'm going to always try to put God at the forefront of my thinking. And at first, Brother Lawrence failed miserably. He would get to the end of his day and he would think, gosh, I hardly thought of God at all. And he realized that he'd failed. But he felt this internal compass that kept turning him towards God, that felt like a magnet, he said, that was in his heart. And he kept turning towards the Lord again and again. And over time, as he kept trying to put the Lord always before him, even in the most mundane of tasks, the tasks of gardening, the tasks of washing the dishes, the task of all of those things he had to do, he discovered that he could practice the presence of God. And this is what we're called to do as well, to practice the presence of God. I didn't have this on a slide, but this just came to my mind. But I want you, I'll say this together. Practice the presence of God. And it takes practice, right? Some of you know, anything that you're good at in life, you didn't just instantly, you can't just go and sit down at a piano and suddenly play piano. You have to, say it with me, practice. Good job. You can't just hit a baseball immediately, right? You have to practice. And in the same way, in order to keep God always in front of our minds and in front of our hearts, we have to practice. We have to practice keeping God in front of us. And so I want to give you guys lots of grace, because at first it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. You're going to have lots of thoughts that are going through your head, and you're going to get distracted, and you're going to start thinking about all these other things that you need to do. But if you can learn how to practice the presence of God, how to keep God always before you, eventually it'll transform you and change you. Yesterday, we had a prayer retreat here at the church led by a gentleman named Reverend Joe Stabile. And he taught us a practice of just getting quiet before God for 20 minutes a day. Some people might call it mindfulness in kind of our modern day culture, but really he said, imagine just starting 20 minutes, even just taking 10 minutes or 15 minutes, taking the first part of your day and just getting quiet before God and just putting your heart and mind upon who God is, and allowing God to transform and shape and change your life. Over time, it'll transform you. See, we can't see our souls like we can see the plant. But the more we nurture, the more we seek to be in the presence of God, to live in the presence of God, more the presence of God will change us. See, God is everywhere. God is not just in this gymnasium here. God is wherever we are. Wherever we are, there is God. And so we can connect with God no matter where you are in the course of your day. So I want to encourage you to begin to seek the presence of God wherever you are. Let me just read a couple more verses of scripture to kind of encourage you, because there's a longing that we all have in our hearts to connect with God. Listen to the way the psalmist describes it. He says, as the deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. And isn't that the picture that we have in our hearts and in our lives, that we're so busy. We have so much to do. We have so many activities. We have work. And sometimes it can just get overwhelming. And there's a parchedness to our hearts, to our souls. We're longing for the presence of God. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. And then from Psalm 63, 1-8. Oh God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My soul faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul, listen to this, is satisfied as with a rich feast. And my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you in my bed and meditate you on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And then just one more I want to read to you. This may be one, a prayer that you can keep on your phone, or maybe put it on your mirror or put it somewhere where you can remember. And it actually falls pretty well, because it's the prayer of St. Patrick. It's called the breastplate of St. Patrick. And this may be a prayer that you can pray. Christ be with me. Christ within me. Christ behind me. Christ before me. Christ beside me. Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in the hearts of all that love me, Christ in the mouth, a friend and stranger. The river is your soul, and you and I are its keeper. No one else is going to care for our souls. Nobody else is going to say, sorry, you got to care for your soul. That's, if you don't do it, no one else is going to do it. The river is your soul, and you are its keeper. Let's pray. So Lord, we thank you for caring for us, even when we don't care for ourselves sometimes, even when we neglect ourselves, even when we stray away from you. Lord, you care for us. Lord, we pray and ask that you would help us to keep the river, to keep the stream of our lives healthy so that we can be whole people, not running from here and there and there to here, but help us to be whole, to have lives of integrity. So bring us together, Lord, even as we care for our souls. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.